some noise for Tristan Wheeler and Jack Lamming. TITR Radio Pizza Party.
What do you do?
Yeah.
No.
Make it louder.
Make it louder.
Woo. I'm hungry. Let's start the show.
Hey, everybody, hey. You're listening to Radio Pizza Party.
Radio Pizza Party.
Starting right on time this week.
We got a little magical ding to tell us, hey, you guys are doing awesome.
As we are. It's the middle of finals, second last ep of the year.
Yeah, so we have an extra special. We have an extra special ep. We have an extra special episode today. Sorry, I'm a little nervous for this extra special episode.
Why are you nervous? Who is it?
Well, I don't want to make any promises after this break because... We're having some a bit of technical
We're having some
issues.
Tech difficulties.
No, we're not.
We're having some tech challenges.
We are having challenges.
Difficulties are for people who can't handle challenges.
Exactly. So what we're going to do is we're going to actually go right into a break, as all great radio shows do, as when they begin, they go
Howard
right into
Stern
a break.
Howard Stern does that, right? He does 30 seconds, then he does 20 minutes of ads.
Yeah.
And then he does a 40-minute show.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what we'll be doing today. so we're going to go to a quick QLB already. I know what you're thinking.
But hey, you know what?
You're going to
We're the hosts.
We're the
okay?
hosts. We are.
We're going to be back after a few minutes with an extra special guest, we hope.
We hope.
We'll be there.
We'll be back.
Help.
New team is a student engineering design team. Every year, we design, build, and race a canoe made entirely out of concrete. Whether you're in first year, fourth year, or anything in between, we would love to have you as a member. Check out our Facebook page, UBC Concrete Canoe, or our website, guessitfloats.com, for more details.
Welcome back to Radio
Pizza
Party. We have a very extra, two very extra, extra special guests, which I'm amazed that they took the time out of their day to...
Yeah, out of a busy Friday, I'm assuming.
Out of a busy Friday night to talk to us. But we have famous, I would say, podcast legends.
Podcast legends, absolutely.
It goes Mark Maron, then these guys. We have the Doughboys, which is Nick Weiger and Mike Mitchell. Can you guys...
Hi.
There we go.
We're both here. Sweet.
Hey, right. Hey, what's up, guys? What's up?
Hey. Well, this is our first ever live phone interview, so we're going to...
It's been tense.
It's been tense.
And over Skype. We had Sylvanessa once, right. But we were in a studio. It was all locked down. Yeah.
But yeah, I'm glad this finally happened. Thank you so much for taking time out of your day, guys. I think that's very
good. So what's the deal with our show, Tristan?
Oh, yeah. So to give you an idea of what our show is, usually we have guests on and we pick a random topic and we talk about it. But for today's episode, we figured
we have enough variables.
We have enough variables today that we can get rid of that model. And we just want to talk to you guys and just have fun. We're basically... Our podcast is basically ripping you guys off anyways.
So we don't eat food.
But right. We don't eat food.
We aren't allowed to eat in the studio, which is, I think, one of the biggest travesties of student radio.
You guys should have picked a better, more successful podcast to rip off.
Yeah, we were going to do This American Life, but we aren't very talented. So here we are.
Sure.
So I, Tristan, was the guy who approached you guys at the Vancouver show.
Yes.
And I just want to start off by having listened to your most recent regular ep this Thursday. Just want to apologize for the people of Vancouver.
Yeah, I heard people were like ripping on somebody because they're from Kelowna. Like, why? Why would they
what
do that?
What happened there?
They were just, it was a hot crowd. They came in hot. They were ready. They were riled up and booze-addled. And... what I expected based on a bunch of, you know, based on an American's stereotypical perception of Canada and Canadians was a very polite, welcoming people showing some north of the border hospitality. But instead, we got a bunch of ruffians who were riled up and causing a scene. I mean, it was fun. We had a great time up there. But yeah, I think that it's a pretty rowdy crowd. And in general, I think the Vancouver people were perhaps a little bit colder than I might expect. Not physically cold, reflecting the climate up there, but like interpersonally cold, like a little bit businesslike. I don't know. What did you think, Mitch? I think we had a similar perception.
I thought the crowd was just rowdy. I mean, I was fine with them all. You know, they were drunk.
They were drunk.
Maybe also another thing that Canadians do. You guys get. They get drunk a lot, right? Or
right,
definitely at that venue. And, yeah,
where was it?
Oh yeah,
but also it was Nick's first trip to Canada, so it wasn't a good experience. I've been all around Canada, so I know that it's not usually like that, but it was a wild crowd, that's for sure.
Yeah, it definitely was, and I believe the word Nick used in was elitist, which I get.
Yeah,
I've lived around this area my whole life. Tristan's lived in like the interior,
like
it's
rural
pretty,
area.
It's pretty bad. Yeah, people are real elitist, ourselves included. Mm-hmm. we fly that
what
flag
do you think,
proud.
What do you think? Right. What do you think that is? It's just
well,
like
Nick,
the
Nick is kind.
Go on.
Oh, go ahead, Nick.
I was just asking why
Nick is elitist. Too, so.
Hey, hold on. What do you think that is? Why do you think Vancouver has this elitist reputation?
I think Vancouver has this reputation. Most of Canada is going to sound really elitist, is really flat and cold, and Vancouver is pretty mild and really mountainous. Like this whole area is, it's the coast mountains is the region. So people get that attitude like, we can go to work and then go running in the mountains in the afternoon.
Mm.
But people in Winnipeg, they just sort of have to go home.
Right.
Yeah. I think that's sort of the whole thing. I heard Vancouver compared to like LA versus New York as Toronto. And like LA people are all fitness and then New York they're all business. I don't know. I've never
Oh,
been
interesting.
To New York.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, that's an interesting comparison. I have never been to Toronto, but I can sort of see that. I can extrapolate from that what that person making the comparison meant.
Yeah, it's definitely that sort of rural area versus metropolitan, which you kind of see everywhere. Also, though, we do want to touch on one thing that we don't want to put you on blast, but we're going to put you on blast a little bit. Respectfully so.
You broke the law.
All right.
Yes. Okay. All right.
There's so
we're ready to hang up.
Okay.
Yeah. Be ready, because it's about to get serious. You broke the law. Airbnbs are illegal here.
No, wait a minute. Sorry, I unmuted that just as I was coughing.
Oh, okay.
I apologize. I've got a nasty cough, and I'm trying to make judicious use of the mute button, but I apologize for any failings. So Airbnb is actually illegal there. How are we able to find Airbnbs, though?
Because it's illegal if they catch you. It's like, well, any crime.
Oh, got
but,
it.
Like, it's not like the app's banned. Like, Uber's illegal here, too. So if you go on the Uber app, you can download it, but you're not going to find anything. But Airbnb.
Yeah, we noticed that.
So why is it illegal?
Because our housing market is insane.
Yeah, right. there's issues with the housing market and stuff. But yeah, I just wanted to maybe point it out to you guys.
If you want to apologize, the Vancouver Police Department's on the line too. If you want to, you know, confess.
Oh boy, okay.
Have a word with them.
Well, fucking try.
Well,
to get us.
Here's the deal.
Yeah,
if we
good luck.
If we can't use Airbnb, we're not coming back up to Canada. So.
Right.
Oh man. Okay. Forget. Scrub
Tristan,
that.
You have a couch.
Yeah. Come stay in my basement apartment because you guys are Airbnb-ing me out of real homes. No, I'm good. So we wanted to maybe move on to some...
It's weird. I guess... Yeah, go on.
Go, no, you go right ahead. You're the guest. Let's go.
Oh, I was just going to say, it's an interesting experience because I think we get... Being up there and, you know, now knowing this Airbnb thing, which tracks considering that you can't use these ride-sharing services. And I know that there are all sorts of, you know, a lot of these businesses basically exist to skirt regulation. Like, that's their whole business model is like, okay, we're fundamentally in the hospitality industry or fundamentally hotels, but we're going to, like, dance around that by claiming to be part of the sharing economy. And the same sort of thing with something like Uber and Lyft is they're like, okay, we're fundamentally a taxi company, but we're going to dance around that by saying that we are, you know, a service that contracts out ride sharing. You know, I think that it's like, I kind of get what a city like Vancouver is doing by restricting that and saying that these are things that that don't exist there. And I am actually like from an ethical side and from a labor side, I maybe tend to like err towards that argument or have to favor that. But that said, when you are used to it and then all of a sudden you're up there, all of a sudden you're in this city that doesn't have it, it feels like you are living 30 years ago. Like it's like crazy. It's like you've had YouTube taken away from you and all you have is a VHS player with, like, you know, a bunch of Kurt Russell movies that you can load in one at a time if you like. It's so it feels like you're from in a different era. And like, we just were physically unable to get a cab in Vancouver. We resorted to driving because we just had no other way to get around.
They could tell you're American.
We wanted to get a late dinner and we
couldn't. Yeah,
yeah. Vancouver
and
shuts
we could,
down.
We couldn't. And it was this sort of situation where we were like, oh, like one of us could drive, but we wanted to have drinks, you know. So we're being responsible, and so. But I just ended up driving and not drinking. So
yeah, we had. We spent like 30 minutes just calling cab company, like looking up cab companies and calling them and trying to get someone to show up. And they just, it just wasn't happening for us. It was a whole ordeal.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
So you guys said you were, other than Japa Dog, what other places did you guys eat at? I'm curious. Cause I saw Nick did a tweet on the day of saying, hey, what's a place that we can go to? What did you guys end up doing there?
Oh boy. I wonder if I'll have any success remembering what that was.
Oh,
it was very good.
I just figured, you know, good guys.
Someone told me that we went basically went to a place that was like considered like the Cheesecake Factory. It was like this place that was. late and still served food, but was also kind of like a bar.
Oh, right.
I feel like it had like a name like Joe's or something.
Oh, was it Original Joe's?
Might have been that.
Oh, yeah. I think it was Original Joe's, actually.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, that place is just like a regular.
Original.
Yeah.
We actually liked it. Nick, didn't
you? Yeah, I got the job done.
Oh, all right. All right, fine, I guess.
No, what were we going to say? What were you going to say?
I thought it was, especially for like 11 p.m., I thought the food was good. And you said you liked your cocktail, I feel like.
Yeah, it was good. I didn't mean to deride it. I was saying like it was exactly what we needed that time of night. We had a very nice brunch the next day. I don't remember what that place was called. I honestly
was something diner. It was like something diner, and it had a fried chicken eggs Benedict. I don't know if that clues you guys into where we were.
The Kitsilano, I don't know. Kitsilano Diner, maybe? I don't know.
There's a diner thing. Yeah, they all have fried chicken.
All right, well, what's a tentative fork rating for Original Joe's? Why don't we get that on the record?
Knowing that I'm putting
you on the spot.
I'd go three and a half. It was totally fine for what we got and what we paid. It was good.
Yeah, right. I would say three. You know, I'd even say three and three quarters. I feel like I needed more time with it to really feel like it, because it had a bunch of stuff. It had sushi and like a bunch of different things, but it was good. It was good stuff. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, sprawling menu. Back. Yeah, very very large menu. Gordon Ramsay or John Taffer would have thrown up their hands at all the menu options and all the different categories of food they were trying to cover. I got some jerk chicken that was good. It was pretty good. It was pretty pretty good. So yeah, I think 3.5 is around where I go. But I respect the 3 and 3 tines.
Excellent. I'm glad to hear it.
What do you guys? Okay, so you guys are Vancouverites, and you imagine you've lived there for some time. What are your favorite like local spots? Like if you know a couple of Americans like us are going to come up there again, and what are the spots we should definitely hit that maybe we didn't?
Jack, I'll let you go.
There's this one place like right downtown. There's two of them on the same street. It's called Viet Sub. They do these $5 banh mi that I eat pretty much any time I'm downtown. What else is there? That's the only one I can ever think of off the top of my head.
I mean,
Viet Sub.
Yeah, that's a good. That's
damn
that's
good. If you ever want to hang out with some elitists,
great.
If you ever want to come up to Vancouver again, go to Viet Sub.
Another one that's a little more upscale than I think than Viet Sub is, but it's called Nuba, and that's like
Nuba's good.
Nuba's good. It's like not Vietnamese, sorry, Lebanese. Cuisine, like Middle Mediterranean, Middle Eastern food, and that is like, that's where you go for like.
It's damn good.
You go there for a nice date, sort of thing. But that's a really good place.
Okay, Nuba.
Nuba, yeah. So like Jack said, can hang out, eat dinner with the elitists, break more laws.
Yeah, it's spelled like NuvaRing, but with a B.
Oh man.
So no,
I feel like it was a place that we kind of struggled to get to find food. It was also our last night on tour, so
we were running on fumes.
We were running on fumes. We were trying to find a place to go. We didn't get to spend enough time, honestly.
Right.
And you know, one of our big meals was Jaffa Dog. So
I think you guys did well by choosing that one. Yeah.
Yeah.
I've never actually
had it. I didn't love Jaffa Dog, though. Nick is mad at me because he thought that I didn't like it. He thought my rating should have been worse for it. So
I think that you, I think that based off of my what you and I and our guest Evan Susser, who came up for that episode, based on our experiences, I actually liked Jaffa Dog, but I think you guys weren't as keen on it. But I think with the pressure of that rowdy crowd, I think you put your thumb on the scale, the fork rating a little bit, and gave a rating that was perhaps a little disingenuous so that you wouldn't have people want to fight you afterwards.
Well, people were very, were very rowdy. And you're maybe partially right. Scared.
Were they like throwing bottles or something?
Scared. I don't know.
That's okay. I think that's a good defensive move.
Yeah. I thought it was a good move. I just want to stay safe.
We'll get you.
steering the conversation away from the experience in Vancouver, I want to get maybe one of, not your first words, but the first kind of discussion on your guys' feelings for The Last Jedi. Because I know you guys both kind of liked Rogue One. You guys disagree very much on Force Awakens.
I didn't like Force Awakens.
I love Force Awakens. I'm with Nick on this one. But I'm wondering what you guys are thinking for... What are you guys thinking for Last Jedi, though?
What do you think, Mitch?
I mean, here's the issue, is that I'm not really excited about any of... I'm not really that excited about any of the characters. Mm-hmm. So that kind of makes me feel like, well, it's not going to be great. But I don't know. I try to keep an open mind when I'm going into a movie, and I hope that I like it. Nick, how about you?
Well, I haven't watched the trailer even. I'm just going to try to go in cold as possible. Certainly, I've seen the porgs. Mitch and I have on the podcast said we are skeptical of the porgs, but maybe they'll be okay. I don't know. They look a little suspect. But the only Last Jedi content I've absorbed is they'll have a weird tie-in Nissan commercial that has a little bit of footage, and I'll kind of get something from there. But I really don't know all that much about it intentionally. I will say that I really like Luke Skywalker. He is maybe my favorite Star Wars character. And so I'm excited to see some Luke, and I'm excited to see what old Luke is all about. I hope they don't just go in a predictable direction with it, but I'm going in with, like Mitch said, with an open mind. We're both going to go in with an open mind. I am maintaining some cautious optimism. We will see. That's as cautiously optimistic, I guess, is how I'd gauge my perception of it right now.
I'd be wary about going in with no trailers, because I did that with Force Awakens. Yeah. Thank you. And I couldn't stand it. John Boyega also acts like a kid I went to high school with and hated. They have the exact same mannerisms, so I may be biased there. But I didn't like Force Awakens at all.
I went to high school with a guy that reminded me of Snoke, which was weird, but you don't have to go into that.
We were from an industrial town. There were accidents.
Right.
Oh, man, that's terrifying. The very terrifying Snoke.
Yeah. Yeah. He was 18 feet tall.
Didn't have a face.
I mean, Nick, we can easily say that Snoke is bad, right?
I think Snoke is pretty bad. He doesn't seem particularly menacing. Is he big or not big? That's the question we're playing around with. And then it just looks like he's just going to end up being just a normal sized guy, which is pretty uninteresting. I mean, I don't know. I think that. I like what they did in terms of setting up Kylo Ren. That's justified, that there's just this kind of ties into the whole Star Wars themes of lineage and fate, and the idea that someone who was the grandfather of Darth Vader might lapse back into, might go over to the dark side of the Force. But Snoke himself, I'm like, what is Snoke? I feel like I need some more context for what Snoke is, because as of right now, he's just sort of like this very generic heavy, and I'd just like to know what's going on with him.
I think in about 8 movies we're gonna find out. We're gonna see him next movie.
That's another thing, is it's just like the for me, a big part of what I liked about Wars and the original trilogy in particular is that it's there's not a lot of mystery going on. There's revelations, but there's not a lot of wait, what is going on here? Someone fill me in on this. It's like, no, it's very straightforward who the good guys are, who the bad guys are, what the points of conflict are going to be, and then we just sort of seeing this linear narrative progress. Mm-hmm. But when we've got these new things that are kind of being, these new elements that are being thrown in, flashback for the first time that we're kind of experiencing in Force Awakens, and now we're like, who is Snoke? There's kind of this ambiguity, which I guess is kind of akin to Phantom Menace, but still we ultimately knew who Darth Sidious was going to be, so it wasn't exactly that. So, yeah, I don't know. I wish they'd be a little less coy with it and just say what's going on.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, I at one point said that Jar Jar is a better character than everyone in Force Awakens.
I think that is an extreme stance to take.
Yeah, I'd say BB-8 is the only one that's notably worse than Jar Jar.
Wait, you don't like BB-8?
You don't like BB-8? I just
figured I'd be contrarian. Why not? You know, I just want to know how his big dumb head stays on there.
Oh, you right, Neil deGrasse Tyson?
Yeah. So Mitch or Mike? Sorry.
Hey, by the way, guys, I figured something out.
Okay.
We went to Fable Diner.
Oh, that place is great. Yeah,
Fable Diner.
That's a good one.
Have you heard of it, Tristan?
Yeah, you been? I've never been, but I remember for brunch it was either that place or another, and I didn't go to Fable, but I really want to go to Fable.
Well, Tristan, I'm glad we got to the bottom of it. All right, so Mike, I wanted to ask you about your pilot for What's Going On with Mike Mitchell. Like, how'd that happen?
Yeah, we're curious. Like, what was it like meeting these people? And if you want to talk about it, or if it's a sore subject, we can.
Oh, no, I can talk about
okay,
it.
Okay, cool.
I mean, honestly, we shot the pilot now, God, 7 years ago, but which is crazy because it doesn't feel that long ago. But we did that show a lot at UCB, which is the Upright Citizens Brigade Theater here in Los Angeles, where a lot of comedians and where Nick and I came up and a lot of people do stuff. And I did that show basically like we did like a monthly show, and By me saying I did it, I really did nothing at all. There were three guys, Jack Allison, Evan Susser, who was the commissioner on our podcast, and Van Robichaux, who's also been on the podcast. Those three guys were the creators of it. And they just knew me, and they knew that, you know, like, I can be nervous and get, you know, kind of frustrated and flustered easy. And so they wrote this talk show around that idea that, basically, they just push me out on stage and give me jokes on note cards and then have guests who sometimes I wouldn't know come in and I would meet them and interview them. So that all started there. And we did that. We did it for almost like 2 years. I feel like a year and a half. And we partnered up with Funny or Die. And we did like a couple more shows there. And it was, you know, so, and they would get great guests even for the UCB show. And Nick, you were around for some of them, right, Nick?
Yeah, always one of the funniest shows. I mean, because it's just sort of it plays off of the brilliance of it, Mitch. And I think you will agree with this: is that you're not someone who necessarily is known for being very prepared. Like I'd say, you're kind of a guy who you just sort of show up and you're just sort of ready to go and you haven't necessarily done your homework in advance. And so it kind of played off of that element, just sort of tossing Mitch into the frying pan and seeing how he'd play against, you know, hey, here's a celebrity from TV and we're going to see Mitch try and remember who it is and pronounce their name correctly and remember their credits and try and figure all that sort of stuff out. You know, was like him just sort of like going into it and flailing about was a lot of a big part of the hook of the show. But Mitch, there was a thing, and I'm not sure if this is a thing you want to discuss in terms of the pilot, which I had no involvement in, but I would have liked to have seen succeed. But so FX, was it FX or FXX? What was the network you were working with? Can you say?
It was FX, I believe, at the time, but it might have been going to FXX. I feel like it was early on
right.
at that point that they were figuring it out. Yeah.
But they were trying to decide what to do, and the show they went with over What's Going On with Mike Mitchell was the legendary Brand X with Russell Brand. So that was the call they made. They said, we're going to go all in on Brand X. And, of course, you know, that show now in its eighth season to 16 Emmys, I think, is the count. So I think they made the right call.
Yeah, it was a bummer to, and that's, you know, that's a Hollywood thing in some ways of being like, well, he's not famous, and we're gonna go with this famous guy and do a show.
Right.
when all those guys, I was sad because I wanted it to happen too, but then all those guys were, you know, like very excited about it and very passionate about it. So that was kind of a bummer. But hey, I met Will Ferrell during the, during the pilot, and Jennifer Lawrence before she really blew up. So that was cool.
Yeah. That was your interview with Jennifer Lawrence. I think on YouTube, I checked last night. There's one copy of it that's not on your official, YouTube. That's got, I think like almost 700,000 views. Have you seen that, that one?
that's very, very funny. Well, you know, like that would have been the fun of the show, is having people kind of like, and even at the stage show, we had like James Marsden and Ryan Phillippe and a bunch of people that were like, you know, like pretty famous, and it was always a fun show. But you know, my mom to this day thinks that Jennifer Lawrence had a crush on me, so that's nice. I can take that with me.
I think that's my fan theory for that. From that, watching that,
is that why it didn't happen?
Mitch, you know,
I was just gonna say, just like looking at the comments of those videos, it's all like, this guy blew it. I'm like, oh, all
right. Nick, what were you about to say?
But I think,
Mitch, didn't you?
I think that's the only. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Oh yeah, didn't you have you had something of a connection with Rose McGowan, right? Who was on the show?
Yeah, we went to, she took me to a red carpet premiere.
Oh, what? Well, tell us the story behind that. Mm-hmm. Was that at the UCB show you met Rose McGowan?
Yeah, at the UCB show, she came into the show, and then, you know, she was like, on the show, she was like, hey, I'll take you out like on a date or whatever. And everyone was like, yay. And then after the show, I think they followed up with her, and they're like, hey, we still take him on a date? And she's like, oh yeah, I guess I'll take him on that date. And and she had this movie come out. She was great. I'm saying it in my mind, I'd be like, oh God, I have to go out, like bring this guy out somewhere. But she brought me to like a red carpet premiere, and we filmed it. And I think we used it like in a show or something like that. Or maybe it was like a part of the pilot or something. So yeah, I hung out with Rose McGowan for a night afterwards, just the two of us. It was a very surreal experience.
Yeah, that's definitely. Which do you remember what movie it was? Or I don't know how red carpets work.
No, it was some movie that she was in, but I don't think it was like critically acclaimed or anything. I think it was not a great one. But
well, she might be listening.
You're gonna do a lot of those. Yeah, she. I'm sure that she knows it too.
I have a question now, more geared towards Nick. I just want to preface this that we're not this type of show, but I do have a question to ask.
We need to know.
Right. So you did divulge something on High and Mighty. We don't have to go into the mechanics or anything, any specifics about that. But what I'm curious about is, how has that changed your life? How has your Twitter been blowing up since? What's going on with that in terms of the public outcry? Because I know on lots of Reddit pages there is a few, I think,
right,
potential threads dedicated to this.
I mean, look, it's you know, I think that Mitch and I have both divulged a lot of secrets on podcasts. We both related some very personal anecdotes that have, and then people just sort of, honestly, the reaction hasn't been anything beyond how people normally react to some ribald anecdote that we tell. I still get way more people in my mentions by like a 20-to-1 margin talking about hot salads. So, which is totally invented. So, I think it's like, you know, I think it's that thing that, and I know we're dancing around it because of the nature of the show, but
yeah,
that revelation was something that I was maybe was trying to be a little bit coy, but I was on John Gabris's podcast, and the whole thing is that we got super drunk. So I, you know, the lips were loosened a little bit. But I mean, like, honestly, like, I'm just like, whatever, who can, I mean, what do you do at this point, you know? But yeah, no particular, I guess maybe part of it is that the Doughboys audience is perhaps not necessarily aware of it yet. We will, we do address it in a future episode. So when that happens, maybe the order of magnitude of interactions I'll get related to that will expand.
Okay. And also just a quick thing for those who don't, know, hot salad is the way that Nick likes his salad, allegedly. I'll add allegedly.
Not true.
I'll add allegedly.
Well, okay. You know, not jury, true. Just jury's not true. Still out. You never know. Have you ever tried it?
It's a false allegation. A false allegation.
Well, like, isn't cream spinach basically hot salad?
Well, all right. Let's not get into this discussion.
Let's not get into the mechanics of it.
I wonder how you – there's a lot of those sort of inside jokes that are hurled at both of you guys. Is that just something that just runs off your back?
I mean, like, I think that we get it's you know, there's a critical mass where maybe – are you talking about jokes we make with each other? Or
well,
like
hot salad. Yeah, when the fans kind of join in. I mean, I get that you guys have a much – like, you guys have that dynamic, and that's part of what makes the show so great. But when the fans join in, is there a point where this is like, okay, this is maybe going far, or it's all in good fun?
I think just the thing is, as long as, you know, I think there's maybe what happens is that maybe someone who listens to the podcast and is a regular listener and is familiar with it has a sense of familiarity with us where they kind of feel like, oh, I almost like, people even will tell this when we meet them in person, like, oh, I feel like I know you guys. Mm-hmm. And that can sometimes maybe lead to a casualness that for us, like, we may not necessarily know you. We maybe don't know who you are. You're just a stranger on social media to us. So, you know, if you're maybe try to be a little bit too, for me, the thing is, like, sometimes, like, you know, the way me and Mitch like to insult each other, that's one thing because we've been friends for a long time. But, you know, if maybe we don't know you and you're just someone on Twitter with an anime avatar and you're kind of saying the similar sort of things that we would say to each other, it might come across a little different. So, yeah, I don't know. I think, like, for me, I think just as long as people are playful, it doesn't matter. But when someone's just like, hey, what's up, you fat idiot? Yeah. Did your wife get cuckolded yet?
Are they talking to you at that point?
Whoop, sorry, wrong DMs.
Yeah.
Mitch, right. What about yourself?
No, I agree with Nick completely. I'm 100% on Nick's side on this one. Mm-hmm. It's that sort of thing. I mean, like, we love our fans and stuff, and you know, it doesn't really bother me, but
right.
I feel like it's that sort of thing of, it can be weird. We've had live shows where, you know, people will come up to the microphone and be like, hey, you're a cuck or something. And you're like, okay. So, yeah, it can kind of be off-putting sometimes. When you don't know someone, you know, but I mean, I can call Nick that and get away with it because I've known him for 10 years or whatever, I guess.
Yeah.
But yeah, when it's just a random person, you're like, hey, come on, leave me alone.
Just want to another question coming your way for more geared toward Mitch here. How is your experiences with Mitch.pizza since you guys publicly talked about it since? Because I know, I believe the last time, I could be incorrect, when Van Robichaux came back on, who invented Mitch.pizza, he divulged an amount of money, which was not public, that was bleeped out. But I'm wondering, what is your experience with Mitch.pizza? What do you think about it?
I think it's nice, you know. I think it's kind of a, you know, just like we were talking about a second ago, you can sometimes get people who will, you know, say weird things to you over it, but for the most part, I feel like it's a very nice thing where I get to talk with people who enjoy the show and you know, they ask questions and I'll tell them whatever they're looking at here, and it's cool. It's a cool thing. I feel bad for Van that he spends money on it. It's kind of crazy, but I enjoy it. It's cool. It was crazy at first, the number of messages and stuff that I get, and I don't even know how many people really, how many people actually use the thing, but it's just weird thing of where I'm like, oh, if I can get to it, I get to it, and then if I don't go to it, they understand too, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's just a thing where I, will answer whenever I can, and then people... You know, it's funny to think just people around the country are getting these weird text messages from me, sometimes probably 3 a.m. or whatever, whenever I'm answering. So,
yeah, I mean, well, Mitch.pizza helped us get this actual interview, I think. I mean,
yeah, Tristan, this was on you. How did you work that out?
Well, I know during the summertime when I knew you guys were going to be coming to Vancouver in October, I sent a lot of messages to Mitch over the Mitch.pizza phone situation.
That's right.
And then once I approached you at the show, I was like, hey, after I just ran out of the bathroom, kind of ran into you.
Ran out of the
bathroom? I didn't run out of the bathroom. I walked at a normal pace out of the bathroom, ran into Mitch and said, hey, I'm that guy. And then after organizing some stuff, you guys finally came on. So that's I think Mitch.pizza is a gain for society. Changed our lives.
Well, I'm happy you could help. Wait, Nick, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, this is one of those things where it's like, and I don't know what your guys' normal audience is, but for the normal audience who perhaps doesn't know who we are and doesn't listen to Doughboys, even within Doughboys lore, Mitch.pizza is such a deep cut. Mm-hmm. And then giving it any sort of context that it's like, a private messaging system that our rich friend set up basically for his own amusement so he could have a way for fans to directly interact with Mitch that's been going on for, I guess, a year and a half at this point, that he's maintaining at significant personal expense. Like, there's just so much going on here. I feel like it doesn't make sense. I would just feel like if I was listening to this and I didn't know what Doughboys was and I heard all this, I would just be like, none of this makes sense to me. Like, I don't understand what this is. I'm just confused by all of it.
Relax, Nick, you don't have to get mad about it, for God's sake.
I mean, because I know what it is and I don't understand it. To me, it's still just like, what is happening? What is this thing?
Yeah, I'll
be
honest.
And it just continues to exist.
I'm a pretty casual listener to Doughboys. Tristan is you're the Doughficionado. If that's the term, I'm not sure. But yeah, I don't know the origin of Mitch.pizza. I know that you can text Mitch. A good amount of this is flying over my head, I'm not going to lie.
Okay, that's good. Well, it's good because we don't have regular listeners. So this is for just us.
This isn't even a radio station.
Yeah, we're not even recording this.
All right, so on our show, we like to play games. Usually we do, Would You Rather, the regular party games. So what we're going to do is a Christmas food Would You Rather. So first off, eggnog versus hot chocolate. What's your fancy?
Also, and why?
Oh, that's a good question. I am going to go with hot chocolate because it's just so comforting and rich. However, the nice little thing about eggnog, you get a little booze in there. You get a little tipsy. I don't know if there's an easy way to booze up hot chocolate. I don't know, but I'd still go with hot chocolate. What about you, Mitch?
I'm going to go hot chocolate as well. And I'll tell you this, Nick. Just pour some booze in your hot chocolate.
It repels out like a magnet.
There's definitely a way you can do it. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
Honestly, if you had said, if this was against hot hot cider or something, you know what I mean? Like a little hot cider with some rum in it or something.
Hot toddy or a mulled wine. Those are fun.
Yeah.
Oh, that's.
But specifically some cider.
Yeah.
That's always fun. A little boozy cider. Fun.
So Mitch, you reject the question and say cider?
I'm gonna go with hot chocolate. Still.
Oh, okay. That's surprising. I thought at least one of you guys would go for eggnog. I'm an eggnog guy myself, actually.
I'm a hot chocolate man, and we have the three votes. We're taking over the radio show, Tristan. You're done.
Hell yeah.
Okay. Next up, as we kind of is ham versus turkey for kind of the main protein of the Christmas dinner.
All right.
I'll go first here.
You go.
This is easy for me.
Oh, okay.
It's turkey.
Oh, okay.
Why?
I'm not a huge ham. I'm not like a huge fan of like the ham dinner. A turkey dinner is so much better to me.
Yeah, Mitch hates ham. So, I don't understand. I mean, his head is basically a ham. You would think he has maybe that's the issue. But I really love ham. I'm a big ham fan, and I think you get that spiral cut. You get that with that little bit, you know. You get the cloves on the outside. Mm. You get that good crust to it. I mean, they can be real delicious. It's great for dipping. I think turkey is pretty bland. I think it's pretty.
Amen.
I think it's one of the duller of the meats. And I feel like I'd rather have ham 9 times out of 10 in the context of a Christmas dinner where we've maybe had Thanksgiving dinner dominated by turkey a month earlier anyway. Give me some ham. Let's mix it up.
Okay. Yeah, I'm definitely. Especially given how American Thanksgiving is so close to Christmas, I feel like I'd be turkeyed out at that point personally. I think I'm much more of a ham guy. Given in Canada, we have Thanksgiving in October, so we get a bit of a break there, I guess. But if I was living
and what do you do? Like what?
Sorry.
Oh, I was just going to say. So what is the Canadian Thanksgiving meal? Is that very similar to an American Thanksgiving meal?
Pretty much.
I would say yeah, it's pretty similar.
My mom hates turkey, so we always like make our own pizzas or something. But yeah, usually turkey stuffing, cranberry sauce, yeah,
that sort of thing. Okay, so
I think.
Sorry,
this anti-turkey talk is crazy.
well, what do you say to turkey being bland? Because I think there's definitely some truth to that. No matter how big of a turkey fan you are,
or how big of a turkey you have,
yeah, or are.
You guys are all cooking it poorly.
Okay, what's
that? I've had well cooked turkey.
No, you haven't.
I 100% have had well cooked turkey. I've had turkey at fine restaurants. It's still just not that stellar of a meat. It's fairly. I think you kind of like it because it's bland. I think that's part of what you like is that you have this sort of dry, boring base that you can have that's just sort of like that you can load up with gravy and that you can kind of have as the centerpiece of your meal. I feel
you love like gravy though. I do love gravy.
I'm a big gravy fan, but I'm saying that like I don't think you can say that turkey is like flavorful and moist. That's the opposite of what it is.
I think you're undercooking your turkey. I think you're eating raw turkey.
Now hold on, raw turkey.
That's my problem.
I did see a not Top Chef, the Iron Chef once. This was the Japanese version of Iron Chef, and a guy made I think they had like a holiday dinner challenge, and so this one of the chefs tried to cook a turkey in like an hour. Because it's like it's got this crazy onerous time limit, and it did not work out at all. Oh. He was serving like medium rare turkey. It looked vile, and some of the judges ate it. I couldn't believe it. I guess it doesn't have, you know, like chicken. You have that risk of salmonella, mm-hmm. and I guess that maybe doesn't exist in turkey. But it still just looked like something you were not supposed to eat.
Yeah,
that's... damn. You shouldn't. Base how you turkey on that episode, Nick.
I did look. Hold on. Right. I didn't use that as guidance for how to prepare my turkey. No, that, I knew that was what not to do. But here's what I'll say. Among poultry, I would say give me chicken over it for sure. Chicken is great. Yeah. And give me duck over it, too. I love duck.
Oh, like a Christmas duck. That's what we should make a thing.
Yeah, I'd be very down for that. That's Scrooge McDuck. Mm-hmm.
Thanks for the laugh there. Our next on our Would You Rathers.
Yeah, we're doing candy canes versus those giant Christmas versions of chocolate bars, like the huge Toblerones you get.
At least in my experience.
I think I got to go big chocolate thing, because chocolate's better than peppermint. I mean, like, them, the candy canes are cool because they're fun, especially if you're a kid and you can sort of suck them into a weapon. But overall, they're not a great candy. I think they're more sort of fun and cool looking. Give me that big old chocolate bar. What do you think, Mitch?
Yeah, I'm going Toblerone for sure.
Okay.
I think here's what I'll say. Is a, you know, peppermint candy cane isn't even my favorite candy cane. I'd rather, you know how they have like sometimes those different flavored ones that are like fruity, or you know what I mean, like a
those are fine.
Twizzlers candy cane or something.
What?
Yeah, I'd rather those instead. Honestly, it's not that I have anything against, but it is just like it's just so much just like toothpaste or something. You know what I mean, like. I don't know. I can't be that excited about mint. You know what I mean? It's not 1905 where a piece of mint is a treat. You know, it's 2017, almost 2018. I need a Toblerone or something. You know, something exciting. But yeah, you know what? I do like peppermint stick ice cream.
Mm-hmm. Like a mint chocolate.
Or just straight peppermint.
I like mint chocolate chip ice cream, but I also like peppermint stick ice cream, which basically just has, you know, chunks of peppermint stick in vanilla ice cream. You put some chocolate fudge on there, then hey, maybe now we're talking. Maybe that wins.
Yeah. So if you get those candy canes, put them in ice cream and then chocolate sauce.
That is what it is. I don't know if you guys.
I've never heard of
have
that
peppermint stick ice cream up north.
I've never heard of it.
It's
yeah.
a common, it's a pretty common one.
I'm
yeah,
very
it's pretty
jealous
common down
man.
Here. Nick, you've got it, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think that for me, peppermint sometimes gets a little too aggressive because it's just so, so minty. Mm-hmm. But I'm definitely with you on the mint chip. But I've had some good peppermint. And I've had some good versions of it. I think it's just like a moderation. I think best in moderation for me. And definitely cut with some chocolate, like the York peppermint patty style, that the ice cream version of that I feel like works out pretty well.
Yeah, I love yours.
Yep.
Mm. Tristan, what's your preference?
I like candy canes just because they make it feel like it's Christmas more. They're much more festive than I think the other things.
Sure.
You get a Toblerone at a store any day, but when you get a candy cane on a tree, you take it off the tree as a little kid. Ooh. Now we're talking.
See, all the candy canes that we put on our Christmas tree have been around since I was a kid.
Oh.
Yeah, we don't buy a new pack. We're a frugal family.
Right.
We buy eating ones and hanging ones. And we keep them separate. Personally, I go with big chocolate bars because I've gotten my dad a large Toblerone every year. This is a lie. I've got him one like once or twice. And it's always good because you get to eat a giant Toblerone. It's really fun.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, Tristan, absolutely. You've now been outnumbered twice.
I feel like this has not gone the way I wanted it to, but that's okay. But hey, if there's anyone beating me up, it would have to be you three guys in a perfect world.
Oh, we can make one of those, like just one of those guys can beat you up right now.
Okay. After the show, Jack is going to beat me up.
For the record.
Well, we're about reaching the end.
Nick,
oh, sorry.
Nick and I can't beat you up.
Yeah, I don't think we physically can.
Nick, I can't beat you.
You haven't.
You haven't seen me. Is the thing too. Oh, no, that's a lie. You did see me.
Yeah.
I think you probably overestimate our bravery a little bit. I think if just the prospect of a physical fight was about to begin, I would just roll into a ball, and you could just sort of, you know, do whatever you wanted.
Okay, well, I think we're about reaching the end of our show, guys. But I just wanted to say, like, thank you so much. You guys are doing us a solid. I don't know how much you guys know that.
this is a huge solid.
But this has been an awesome show. Like I said, our show, I try to rip off things from the Doughboys to do on our show unabashedly.
Yeah, same with you talking you two to me. Rip off that one, too.
We rip off all those sort of indie comedy podcasts. But thank you so much, guys. I just want to say that earnestly.
Yeah, thanks.
Of course.
For having
yeah,
us.
Thanks.
Was there anything that you guys wanted?
Sorry.
Yeah, go right ahead.
I was just gonna say, stay warm up there, everybody. It's cold, I assume.
It's getting chilly. It's getting very foggy. It feels like we're in Stranger Things all the time now.
We literally are living in hell right now in California. There's just wildfires raging.
Oh yeah,
it's the driest. Yeah, it's the driest time in I think in documented history. It's the driest it's ever been in this state. And then they're like two thresholds for just how dangerous fires are at this point. Like they're like, we added a new color to the scale
on
the map in terms of what the risk of a fire is. So it's crazy to kind of have that. You're kind of living in a smokehouse in a sense. And certainly a lot of people's homes are in actual danger, which is horrible. But I mean, like I probably would welcome some cold at this point. It's like, it feels like it's 75 or 80 every day in December here.
Well, we'd be glad to have you guys up here. You can come, like I said, bunk in my basement.
I wouldn't bunk in his. He lives in a basement. But yeah, don't let your house get burned down. Leave the taps running.
Yeah. By the way, when I said 75 and 80, I meant Celsius. It's
oh,
hot.
Whoa. Jesus, your eyes must be melting out of your head.
Yeah.
Jeez. All right, we're running out of time here. Yeah, thanks for coming on, guys.
Yeah, thank you so much. Anything you wanted to say before we get the show wrapped up?
Just check out Doughboys, our podcast on Feral Audio. Go ahead, Mitch.
Yeah, check out Doughboys and everybody up there in Vancouver. Calm down for the next time Weiger visits.
Yeah,
you know? You want to give him a you got to rep Canada in the right way. So.
Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, thank you so much, guys. It's been an absolute like joy having you on.
I hope Tristan's thanking you 40 times is made up for you not thinking Canadians are very polite.
Yeah. The show is my redemption. Sorry, guys. Sorry. But it was great having you on. We're going to go to a little break, but this was the Doughboys.
This has been the Doughboys and Radio Pizza Party. Bye.
See you, Canada.
But yeah, so we're just on a break right now. Are you guys still there?
Hey, it's Prophecy Sun. Meow. You're listening to CITR Radio 101.9 FM in Vancouver.
Nikkei National Museum's Hastings Park 1942 exhibit marks the 75th anniversary of Japanese-Canadian internment. Visit the exhibit until January 13th to see Japanese Problem, a contemporary performance piece which offers a glimpse into a dark episode of history at the Pyrenees Livestock Barn. Nikkei National Museum is located in Burnaby and entry is by donation.
When I first got back from a military tour in Afghanistan, anytime I heard a siren or even a car alarm, I'd lose it completely. I would turn into a wild man, screaming, waving my arms. People would yell at me, "Shut up, you crazy. Get a job, would ya?" Well, I didn't go out and get a job. I got help instead. Now, I'm in a clean and safe apartment. I have friends and helpers who understand me. I landed a decent job. But I gotta admit, I still don't like car alarms or sirens. I used to think mental illness was a death sentence. I got life instead.
This message was produced by Columbian Center Society and Radio Malaspina in British Columbia.
All right! Get ready! Here we go again!
This music, reggae music. Is tell you, I tell the whole world, you know. Telepathically and physically and mentally and spiritually, we are telling them to this music, yeah.
So you heard it here at Rocker Show 101.9 FM CITR. Featuring yours truly, George Beard, keeping the reggae music alive on the west coast of Canada. It's all about root rock, yeah. Lovers rock, yeah. Dancehall reggae music. On CITR Rocker Show, Sunday noon to 3 p.m. each and every Sunday. For over 25 years of doing it nice, warm, and easy. Until next time, such time, keep the faith and spread it gently. Jah bless and Jah guide and Jah out. Bless out.
The holidays got you down? Whether it's pressure to make it perfect, tension with loved ones, unfulfilled expectations, dissatisfaction at work, or unrest in the world at large, maybe combined with winter weather and darkening days, all of this can contribute to self-judgment and guilt, sadness, and lethargy. It's a tough time of year, and psychotherapist Jeffrey B. Rubin has 7 handy tips and tricks to help you out. 1. Connect with those you love. 2. Have realistic expectations. Seek good enough rather than perfect. 3. Cherish what you're grateful for. 4. Build in what helps you flourish. 5. Create healthy boundaries with loved ones. 6. Constructively address family conflicts through empathetic listening and compassionate feedback. And 7. Help those in need. Good luck out there, and I'm proud of you.
Hey, everybody, you're listening to Radio Pizza Party.
It's just
Tristan and Jack again.
Yeah, it's just us two. Just wanted to do a quick little outro.
Let you know, we're not here anymore. we're leaving.
But thanks for listening to Radio Pizza Party. That was the Doughboys.
The Doughboys.
We just did
the DBs.
Great 50-minute interview with.
It was awesome.
It was awesome.
It was great.
Up next, we have David Love Jones of African Rhythms.
The man himself.
The man himself, the legend. And tune in, I think, next week.
We'll be here stressed to the tip with finals.
Oh, I think I'll be done at that point.
You're going to be done?
Yeah.
I don't like you. I'm going to have one the next day, and I'm going to be freaking out. So, you're going to get to hear me.
Actually, no, I won't be. Oh, wait,
on my last
day on Earth. All right, ladies and
gentlemen. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening.